Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dave Schultz is a professor of law at the University of Minnesota. He has a book called Presidential Swing States. He's visited with us before. He joins us again. It's been a while. Professor, how have you been?
I'm doing very well. Hope you're doing well and hope your audience is fine.
Yeah, all things considered, Illinois is a safe, good place to be. How's Minnesota? What's your assessment of how Minnesota's handling the virus, Professor?
Well, we're struggling like a lot of other states. We're going to have the governor make a decision today regarding what's going to happen for the schools, you know, K through 12 for the fall. You know, but we've managed to be able to spread out the infection rate so that the hospitals can cope with it. It would be better if we had fewer deaths, but I think we're doing as well as any state can hope to do.
I think Illinois had bragging rights for a while on managing it, at least medically, economically, you know, politically, maybe some people would argue, but our infection rate was pretty low and we tamped it down pretty quick. We're seeing a bit of an uptick now. Our positivity rate is around 3.5%. I don't know what it is in Minnesota, but it seemed to me like you guys are on the rise as well, right?
Correct. Yeah, I think our positivity is about 4% or so. There's a big pushback in greater Minnesota, the rural areas, against wearing masks, and I think that's contributing to it.
And where have we heard that before? Can the president, What does the Constitution say about the date or timing of an election? You're a constitutional law professor.
Correct. Okay, so there's sort of two relevant places that we want to look. One of them is about federal statute. And what I mean by that, there is a law on the books. And remember, people, how a law is passed? Both houses of Congress pass it and the president signs it. There's a law on the books that specifies the date for the federal election that cannot be changed except by what? Another law. So that the president of the United States on his own has no authority to change the date of the federal election. So one issue is about a statutory issue.
Sure.
But there's something in, go ahead.
No, but I mean, let me read what the president tweeted. With universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote? ? Okay, that's the premise for this conversation. So we have a law, but that doesn't sound to me like a great impediment to changing. That is, laws change all the time. If you control one of the houses, the president will sign it. I don't suppose the Democrats in the House will go along with this, but at least that's a path. That's not impossible, right?
Not impossible, but now we do have a different problem, and this is a constitutional problem. The Constitution specifies sort of two things. One, it says that the president and a vice president's term ends on noon on January 20th, which is when the new presidential term begins. And so let us say Donald Trump, for some reason, got his wish, and we canceled the election. And if we cancel that election long enough, come noon January 20th, 2021, if there was no election or no election returns in by that point, his term as president of the United States, along with Mike Pence, presumably who will be his vice president, would expire. So there is this nasty thing in the Constitution that sets, I'm going to call it, a hard deadline in terms of when his current term expires. So we have to work backwards from there. How far back from January 20th, 2021 can we go and hold an election so that the results can be completed and done by that appointed date?
The Constitution doesn't say when we vote. That's the law.
Correct. But the Constitution itself, rather an amendment to the Constitution, specifies that presidential terms expire at noon on January 20th, which is when the new presidential term starts. And so, again, no presidential election. Donald Trump is out of office on January 20th, 2021.
Prior to the... Go ahead, Steve Bertrand.
Well, two things. So when it comes to deadlines, I mean, that was sort of addressed with the in 2000, right, in the Supreme Court, when they said they didn't have time for the electors, so they had to move things up. Yeah?
You're absolutely correct, because there is a variety of statutes regarding the presidential election, for example, when the presidential election occurs. And then there's when the electors for the Electoral College meet. And what was going on in that case is we had had the general election. There was an outstanding dispute regarding the popular vote in Florida. I believe that decision occurred on or around December 12th, which was a matter of just a couple of days before the electors had to meet mm-hmm. to be able to cast their votes in the Electoral College. And so that was one of the other hard deadlines by statute that had kicked in, and which would kick in again this year also. But that's part of the same statute. I think it's what, 5 U.S. Code Section 3 federal law, which specifies the rules for presidential elections.
And I apologize if you covered this, guys, but I've been following other things. But the Secretary of State Pompeo is on Capitol Hill right now before a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. And he says that the Justice Department would make the, quote, legal determination, end quote, of whether a presidential election delay could be ordered by an incumbent president. If you haven't addressed that, is that your understanding as well, that DOJ could make this decision?
They could try to make that decision and reach their own opinion on it, but whatever the Department of Justice decides is not binding upon the federal courts, which means I suspect if the DOJ said the president can do this, someone's going to go to court and challenge the president over that. So think of the DOJ as just issuing a lot. Its opinion on what it thinks the law is, and sometimes DOJ wins. Oftentimes, the Department of Justice doesn't win when the court says, "No, you got it wrong,
but
folks."
But it's the law. But I mean, regardless, with all due respect to the Department of Justice, and I know the president loves his executive orders, but if you have a law that says here's when you vote, then we would have to have a new law, right? Congress would have to, and the
Correct.
President would have to sign a new law. Okay, answer me this then. Prior to that law going in place, is there any precedent for the election moving out of convenience or necessity? Is there any precedent prior to that law? I mean, we still have this roadblock. You said noon, January 20th, but have we ever moved the election because somebody doesn't like something or whatever? We're talking to Dave Schultz, and he is a law professor, can you tell, at the University of Minnesota. We'll ask him about his book, Presidential Swing States. It's fascinating. It is now 10:46. By the way, former President Bush just spoke at the John Lewis funeral. Bill Clinton is walking up to give remarks. Barack Obama will also speak. Nice to see George Bush. He looks good. It's good to see that collection of presidents honoring John Lewis. And Bill Clinton ambling up to the microphone.
Yeah, it's one of those unique American ceremonies, I think. You know, the last one we saw was John McCain, certainly, but people from both sides and the greatest leaders of the country surviving speaking today.
I have in my mind Bill Clinton is the thinner, older man now, and he's sort of locked into that. He looks pretty good. And George Bush, though a little thinner on top, is in pretty good health as well.
But he had his color. He had his smirk while he was
noticing that. Yeah.
Which is nice.
You know, we could use a little unity these days. We're talking with Dave Schultz. He's a professor of law at the University of Minnesota. He follows the Constitution better than just about anybody you'll ever hear. We're asking him about the ability to delay or change the date of an election. He just got done telling us that the Constitution says that the term ends noon January 20th. So whatever y'all want to do, that president's term is over. You would have a situation if you somehow delayed or didn't vote until after January 20th, where then you don't have a president of the United States, right, Dave?
Well, what would happen at that point, another law kicks in, which is the Presidential Succession Act. And that says that if there's no president and if there's no vice president, we go into, under federal law, a succession act. And under the current law, it would be the Speaker of the House who would become president of the United States. So let's just assume things haven't changed much and that Nancy Pelosi remains Speaker of the House.
Boy, that'll motivate the Republicans. My goodness. Keep going, Dave.
Yep. Yeah. So what would happen is, assuming she's still Speaker of the House on January 20th, 2021, and Trump is out of office, Pence is out of office because they haven't been able to have a presidential election, Nancy Pelosi would become president of the United States.
Careful what you ask for. So is there any history of the vote not falling on the, what is it? So when are we supposed to vote? What does the law say when we're supposed to vote?
What it says is, the federal law says that the federal elections must take place on the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November. It's a very strange way of phrasing the law, but that's what it says.
When did that go into effect?
Pardon me?
When did that go into effect? When did we start voting that way?
Oh, that law has been in effect for probably well in excess of 100 years, maybe 150 years. And so it's a very long-standing law that's out there in terms of the date for federal elections. And so that's pretty firmly entrenched there. And partly why the law was set for that date, by the way, is actually it probably goes back to the early days of the Republic. Remember, a long time ago, we didn't have internet, trains, cars, airplanes, and so people went off and voted. Took a while to get the results, tabulate them. Back up until the 1930s or 40s, I think it was 1930s, until Roosevelt, presidents didn't take office until March. Because in the old agrarian farmers' days, you needed maybe 5 or 6 months, to get the results in. Somebody could get in the wagon, get off to Washington, things like that. So we're looking at a lot of very old laws. And in the course of American history, World War One, World War Two, 9/11, Pearl Harbor, 9/11, whatever disaster you want to look at, none of them have ever led to the postponement of a federal election.
What about the Civil War?
Not even with the Civil War. The Civil War, you might recall, some people who are historians might recall that the election went as scheduled in 1860. As Lincoln wins, the South secedes from the Union. 4 years later, in 1864, let's say getting towards the waning days of the Civil War, but still there's a Civil War going on, the election took place on the appointed day. So we've never had a circumstance where the election has been delayed by war, natural disaster, personal whim by the president, whatever it may be.
And I don't know what the president knows. I know that he likes to lob these things out. And I think that it's very easy to overreact to a Donald Trump tweet, even when it calls into question the Constitution or established law. He's just making the point that he doesn't like mail-in voting. Does the Constitution talk about that at all, Dave?
Not at all. What the Constitution says is that the issue of voting in terms of eligibility, how and so forth, is left to the states, but that the federal government may pass laws that address the time, manner, place, for elections. But for the most part, the Constitution deferred to the states in terms of how to hold elections, when to run them, and so forth. And quite frankly, again, barring a federal law, the president really doesn't have much say about mail-in ballots, because states can decide, as they do right now, about how to vote, absentee voting, early voting, and so forth. And unless Congress were to come in and both houses of Congress pass a bill, president signs it, it becomes a law. Unless that happens, there is no federal law that would bar or prevent, let's say, mail-in or early voting from occurring.
Okay, the president could use his bully pulpit, though, to persuade Republican governors in Florida, in Georgia, places like that. It's already hard enough for some people to vote in Georgia, but you get the point. Governors could, I guess, persuade their legislatures to make it impossible to do mail-in voting, right? I mean, you could, if the end game is we just want to make it hard or impossible to do mail-in voting, those state governors could do so, correct?
Possibly. They could get the governors to perhaps act. But remember, in every state in the country, ultimately, it is the Secretary of State or the equivalent of a Secretary of State that oversees the elections. And so it's not even clear that governors would have necessarily that authority to be able to act. And if they did, it would have to be by their state law or by their state constitution that would empower them to do so. Because the whole framework of election law in the United States is actually fairly well established by a combination of state and federal or national law. And when, again, for all of us who've learned something, about how a bill becomes a law at some point, once things are laws, the only way you change them is either go to court and have them struck down or you pass a new law to change them.
And it doesn't look like the president's going to get much help from the Republicans on the date of the election, at least not the Senate. Mitch McConnell just telling a Kentucky television station that the date of the election is set in stone.
Which should not be necessary. I mean, but, good on him for at least affirming what everybody, what we've been talking about here, that like it or lump it, you cannot move it because it's inconvenient for or not helpful to you.
Correct. Absolutely correct. The other thing which is interesting politically, now we're talking about politics now, not about law, is that many Republicans are concerned that if the president presses hard on the issue of, let's say, early voting or absentee voting and makes it more difficult to do that, it could very well hurt whom? Republicans also. Nobody really is quite sure, what impact that would have in terms of, let's say, making it harder to vote early. But enough Republicans are concerned to say, well, gosh, maybe my voters won't be able to get to the ballot on election day, and I might lose office at this point. So I think there's enough concern, I think, let's say, bipartisanly, for a whole bunch of political reasons, that nobody wants to move the election.
Dave,
because why? It might hurt them.
Last question. A lot of our listeners are asking, what do you think of the Electoral College?
What do I think of the Electoral College? If I were waving my magic wand, I would first say that I'd say it's going to be almost constitutionally impossible to get rid of it. We'd have to get 2/3 of both the House and the Senate and 3/4 of the states to get rid of it. It's never going to happen. What I would rather see at this point is that states change their laws to allow for a proportional distribution of electoral votes in each state based upon the popular vote. I think that would be more fair, because right now, this all or nothing that we see in 48 states, including of Illinois. If you're a Republican in Illinois and you want to vote for the president, you might as well stay home on election
your
day.
Vote is
your
vote never counted.
Count.
I've said that many times. If you're a Republican in this state, you can vote for all the Republicans you want. Your vote will never count. It's a shame. But aren't you then asking these red states to sort of disenfranchise themselves or dilute their vote? Why in the world would they pass a state law to do that?
Well, you would hope that in the interest of democracy, they might do something like that. But I'm going to give another answer here, too. One of my friends did a study once and looked at the fact that, this is the premise of my book, only about 8 or 9 states really matter in presidential elections. The rest of them, we know what's going to happen. What he found is that in the states that were what we call the swing states, guess what? They actually got more federal aid than the states that were certain. So think about it. States that might be solidly Democrat or solidly Republican, they're not getting as much. They're not getting as much of the gravy train as the other ones.
What's the name of that book again, sir?
Presidential swing states.
I've got to go, Dave. Have the state is Illinois is not a swing state. Is Minnesota a swing state?
Illinois is not. Some people think Minnesota might be. I think it's potentially in play.
Okay. We'll talk again. Go buy his book, gang. It's fascinating. It's easy to read. And obviously, he knows his stuff. Dave Schultz, constitutional law professor. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate your help today.
Anytime. Thanks to the audience. Bye.
10:57. WGN Radio News is next.